Ladies and gentlemen, could you please have a seat? Thank you.
David looking to be vice chair now. Okay. We wanted to give you some points to consider while they're counting the votes. And I'm going to start. Within your convention binder, you should have found three cards. They're simple, generic Libertarian Party of Maryland cards. So the advantage is these can be given out to anybody that you meet, whether it's just at somebody at work or, like, I was at Staples printing up these convention binders, and this guy says, "What's that Libertarian Party?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "I used to be a registered Libertarian, but you got kicked off." And I said, "Well, now you can re-register." And he's got talking. I have the Libertarian Party of Maryland license plate on my car. You wouldn't believe how many times when I'm filling up gas, people go, "Hey, Libertarian, blah, blah, blah." You know, that's the time to give these kind of cards. We need to leverage our network. And you all meet people through your lives. This is a simple way of giving a card to give them the contacts. It's got the, you know, the kind of basic message of tired of politics as usual, which is reaching out to the kind of people you're going to hear about. They either have just heard of the Libertarian Party or not quite sure what the deal is, but they know what Republicans and Democrats are. And so they're hearing your message about libertarianism or the Libertarian Party in the context of their knowledge. And so we wanted to have this kind of card that gives contacts to our Facebook. You all got three of them. But some of you are out and about and can use a lot of these cards, and we want you to use as many as you can. So up at this table, later on, if you want more cards, we've got tons of them. And we want to leverage your networks and your general opportunities, because I give out cards all the time. I actually like these better because they don't have my contact information. You know, I don't need it coming to chair. It's not about being, you know, my card for the party. It's about giving them basic information about the party. Just a simple thing. Another use for these will be when we do door-to-doors. Sometimes these will get stapled to other brochures. You've got the Libertarian Party brochure sample. We have more of these if you want something a little more elaborate. These tend to be done at tables or at door drops. So I just wanted to make a pitch for you all. You know, many of you have a vast network of people that you want a light touch with respect to. They find out you're a libertarian, yeah, check us out. You're not asking them to become a libertarian. You're not asking them to register libertarian. You're just saying, "Here, have this." Let them do the work. Some of them aren't going to do anything with it. That's all right. The opportunity cost, I don't worry about that. These are relatively cheap. So get them out there. I mean, I can't tell you how many client meetings I've had where, for whatever reason, my clients go, "Yeah, he's the libertarian." "Oh, I'm a libertarian." You know, so some other lawyer or some other accountant or whatever is saying, "Oh, I'm a libertarian. Here, have a card." So once we're done, there's plenty of them. Take as many as you want, as long as you're not wasting them. The one thing I talk the most about in activism is what I call dead drops, where people take materials and it sits in their trunk for, you know, 2 years. So, but, you know, take as many as you think you can actually use. And if you come to events more regularly, we will have more of them and we'll get more printed. So this is just an idea to try to leverage our own networks. Because so many of us, we don't want to make the full ask about, "Oh, you should join or you should become a libertarian," for, say, family members at Thanksgiving, you know. You're just given the card if they happen to talk about it. So next I want to bring up our gubernatorial candidate, David Lasher. David has done a fantastic job out of the gate. I'm, it's perhaps confirmation bias, but I'm a big, big fan of nominating our candidates and getting them started as early as possible so that their message is hitting the media during the primaries of the Republicans and Democrats. Because what I've learned in watching politics, especially third-party politics, is the media is really only caring about issues during the primaries, because they're trying to decide how, what the difference between one Democrat or one another is, or one Republican. And being a party of principles and ideas, that's the time when we get the maximum exposure to ideas. And David has done a fantastic job. I don't want to steal his speech to the extent he's going to talk about it, but he's been invited to a lot of really high quality events, reaching out to non-libertarians, the general public, and that's who we would need to get to vote for us. So without further ado, David Lasher.
Thank you, Eric, first of all. Thanks to everybody for coming out. And I do not want to give you a speech. I'm going to share some statements with you. And we could do Q&A, but I'll do Q&A by mixing and mingling. Okay? So what I want to do is talk about who I am first, because a lot of you don't know me yet. I want to share why I'm running. I want to talk about what we've been doing on the team, and I'm going to close with what you can do to help us out. Okay? So who am I? I'm the pastor here from the city of Chicago, and maybe of interest in the career arc, I served as CIO, CIO, and chief of our Department of Healthcare in Maryland, $14 billion. That means I'm very comfortable talking about governmental aspects of it and healthcare, which actually is really not an issue so far in this campaign cycle. So, IT guy, I've been helping organizations choose and use their IT for a number of years now. I live in Annapolis with my wife and my young teenage daughter, and my wife has spent her career in environmental protection and natural resources. But other than me saying that, she wants me to say nothing about us. And that's part of the thing, okay? And I won't speculate. Why am I running? I'm running because I decided in late 2020 that there were just too many people who were all of us working in that field. Anybody disagree with that? And I decided that counter voices, we're not going to find the Democratic Republican Party, so I decided to step forward and as a president of Congress and civil partnership with a running mate, Cristiano, where are you? With a running mate who was the same. And so our positioning of ourselves is just what I said. A principle accomplished and civil. And I wanted a running mate, and I want everything that we do to be exuding those values. I hope that we have been able to do so. Our three values are opportunity, accountability, and civility. And it's a nice little, it's a counter poise. I'm comparing and contrast to what we're getting from the left and the Democratic side with DEI, right? Diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, we have a way to engage with that in a conversation that, well, we've been embracing diversity and inclusion well before the Democratic and Republican Party. But we need something to talk about with our audiences, so it's OAC, not AOC, and I will be going to an event, leaving here early, to go into West Baltimore, meet the community, and talk about expanding opportunity and insisting on accountability, especially from public officials, right, and exemplifying civility. And that's what I've been trying to do, get out into the community and take our values and our ideas to people who haven't heard them
or have maybe heard them in ways that didn't resonate with them. Right? So engaging others who have never thought of voting libertarian before and getting them to vote third party for the first time in their lives is what the campaign is about for November 8th. Okay? What have we been doing towards those ends? Eric alluded to it with Christiana, who I thank for being a great running mate, keeping me energized, getting out to agricultural venues especially. I want to thank Crystal. Where's Crystal? She's been taking our ideas and making them appear brilliant on social media. And I want to thank David Dahl especially, too, field director. We had a lot of work we did in the fall. We had a wintertime lull, naturally, and we're ramping up for the summer. But what have we done? We spent 2021. But anybody here from the Mises Caucus? Do we have anybody here from the Mises Caucus?
Yeah.
I want to thank you for the energy that you are bringing to the party. Okay, it's tremendous. The amount of people that we've got here, and I want to thank the Mises Caucus of Maryland. We're one big happy family here, right? In Maryland, one big tent. So let's Mises Caucus and all of us libertarians. Let's keep it that way. Maryland. Otto and others know that you guys always have an open door to me. I encourage you to reach out. Otto and I just had a conversation. We're going to be talking more in May about how you can help with the campaign in summer and fall. Okay? So what we've been doing, I would say there have been two priorities after I got my wife's permission to run. Right? The priorities have been to build the digital platform. I would ask everybody to go out. The URLs are here in on this page in your binder, and please check what we've done. I think it's at a very high standard of quality. I believe that as a libertarian, we receive a lot of skepticism, as used to be the phrase anyway for Avis relative to Hertz. Right? We have to try harder. We get more skepticism, so we have to look better, and that's what I've been trying to do: make sure that we withstand scrutiny from people who don't really want to cover us, right, in the press. So the digital platform, I think it's in place. The only last thing I have to... Good? The last thing that I need to do is establish a Twitter account and then start tweeting and have it canceled after, what, 2 or 3 weeks, right? The account. So I'm looking forward to that experience. The other priority has been getting
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sorry.
Important business. I've been trying to get out into the community, right? I've been trying to get onto the forums so that we and the campaign, we all, the libertarians, we get attention in venues that we usually don't. That's been going very well to date. The civic organizations in the state have been very good, in including me and us in their events, Maryland Black Caucus Foundation, the Maryland State Bar Association. If you didn't see it, I was invited to a two-night climate forum sponsored by the Maryland Matters, which, if you don't know them, arguably the number one voice and outlet on politics in Maryland. And the feedback in all of these sessions has been tremendous. People coming up afterwards and saying, I didn't really know what a libertarian was, but you made a little bit of sense. I'm going to be following you, right? So we're just going to keep building on that through the summer and fall. How can you help? Christiana and I really need you and implore you to go out and help us by signing up for our mailing list. That's the easiest on the website. We really need you to follow our Facebook page. The algorithms at Facebook do not pay attention to you until you reach 500 followers. That's what I've learned from Crystal. We have a YouTube channel. I cannot get a custom YouTube URL until we get to 100 subscribers. Right? 100 subscribers. So please, please at least go out and do those things. And if you don't like being on Facebook, I totally respect that because I don't like being there either. Right? But what we need, that's painless ways for you to help. We are now pivoting to fundraising. So I'm making the call. The donation URL is here on this page. Throw us 5, 10, 20 bucks or more. It helps. These signs are expensive. Alright? Was there a glitch? We keep getting better. The sign has printing on both sides. The first batch did not. Thank you, Eric, for the feedback. Yay. Where's Tim Miller? Where's Tim Miller? The sign has the URL. The release in, it's in 6 point, but it is here. All right, it is here. All right. So we are constantly listening and improving. We're doing that. All right. The next big step is we're going to get 4-foot by 8-foot signs down to the beach along Route 50. Right. Down to your home. Right. That's the next big expenditure. If Robin Ficker can do it from the Republican Party, if you don't know him, he's quite a character. If he can do it, we can do it, right? We're going to have signs all over the place, and we're going to have events. I personally, I started with, and I'm going to finish with, I'm an IT executive. I have a consulting business. I'm going to step away from it on Friday going into Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to take a leave of absence starting Memorial Day weekend through November 8th to be full-time on the campaign. I'm looking forward to it. Right, Mr. Golf?
Goddamn right.
Right, Christiana?
Absolutely.
and here's, we need your help, so pitch in any way you can. Thank you. We look forward to good results on November 8th.
Thank you, David. When I go to these types of events, I inevitably start creating lists of things I want to do. And I would really ask you to think about creating your own to-do list. They can be little things. And the two things that I would say are kind of just the easiest ask and the easiest thing for you to do. You might even be able to do it right now on your phones, but you can do it certainly as a list, as a to-do, is like or subscribe, whatever it is, to David's YouTube channel and the Libertarian Party of Maryland's YouTube channel. We both want to get those up to the point that it actually makes sense to start spending money. But until you get to that point, you can't really do it. The algorithms just won't work. Next, you know, one of the things, actually, let me ask, Robert, how much time generally?
15 minutes.
Great, thanks. So I want to bring up our director of field operations for the Maryland Party, and he also happens to be doing that for the Lasher campaign, because, you know, what David ended with is how you all can get involved, and that's ultimately how we drive this party. Almost everything that actually matters in what happens in this party is by people putting in the time, the activism. So I'm going to turn it over to David. I got to set up his slideshow.
That'll work.
Yay. Oh, on the top left, I think top left, there's a, is it the play button?
Slideshow?
Something. It's cut off on the thing, so I can't see your screen. On the top.
Over.
I think you just click on the screen and it'll go to the next slide. Or there's a
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is my first PowerPoint presentation.
Can you guys hear me fine?
Yeah. Okay. My first PowerPoint presentation, and therefore my best PowerPoint presentation.
Oh, go back.
Oh, who is that guy?
Shut up.
Who that?
You know what? Fuck this. Field operations. You're a lot stronger than you realize. Anybody watch,
I did not say,
Okay. anybody watch Loki? No?
Yep.
MCU, it's like the greatest thing ever. So, old Loki, right? Saves the day halfway through the season. And then the other two were asking, like, oh my god, like, how did he do that? And he says, you're a lot stronger. I think we're a lot stronger than we realize. I'm going to tell you that in the next 10 minutes. Next slide. So, going back in history since I started here in the Libertarian Party of Maryland, 2018.
Why the bottom is gruff, but Libertarian Party of Maryland State Convention.
It's louder.
God damn it. Alright, my apologies. So, Libertarian Party of Maryland State Convention 2018. We're told you are the most important member of the Libertarian Party. That is 100% true. I know a lot of emphasis goes on to the people at the top, you know, the ones on the exec board that have to do all the work. You know, treasurer, secretary, these are all, I'd say frustrating tasks that don't involve actually expanding liberty. It just means doing treasurer positions. And, you know, what Robert's doing right now is pretty stressful. So you guys don't have to worry about that. You have to worry about how we're going to spread our message. So you're the most important part of the party. Yeah, we need you to volunteer. So next slide. So next year, 2019 state convention, Jess Mears gave a presentation on AOC and how she won. How did she win? She knocked on every door in her district. That is how she defeated the Democrat incumbent in the primary. What were we told in 2020? You are the power. He wasn't being hyperbolic. He was being serious. You guys are the ones who are going to do all the work while we're pushing pencils. Thank you. 2021, at the Region 5 training seminar, how did Kara Schultz say that she won her race for city council? Yeah, county council. I knocked on every door, or I knocked on doors until I threw up from chemotherapy, and then I knocked on more doors. That's how she won. Thank you. So who has the power? You guys, you're the Christmas party. Sorry, you're the Christmas party. You have the power. And we're going to move on to how we did that in the last 4 years. So, first of all, we lost ballot access 2018. Our candidate, our top-tier nominee, didn't get the 1%. We lost ballot access. We had to get signatures. It was because of volunteers that we were able to do that. Alex, how many petition signatures do you think you got for us in
2021,
2020, or
1900? 1,300, but who's counting? Yeah, 1,300.
So, if our governor nominee doesn't get 1% this year, we're going to have to do that again. So, instead of doing that, right, instead of doing that, we're going to do what we're going to see later in the presentation. So, another thing we can do is sign waving. I'm the last person that should be promoting this because I think sign waving is a complete waste of time, but it is fun! So, engage voters, spend quality time with sweaty, dehydrated libertarians, and then cool off later and make fun of people who yelled at you from their car. So, it is claimed that we, you know, a lot of people see the signs, and you see everybody going like this on the side of the road, so, you know, it gets people interested in the candidates. I think the biggest part is just that it's so much fun. So, last year, county council or city councilman James Cook got elected. How'd he do it? Him and his volunteers knocked on every door in the district. This thing is too short. Anyway, too tall. Yeah. Well, it's hard to see it when it's like
Holy snuggies.
My man. Thank you, sir. All right.
My problem is libertarians want to help right now.
All right, next slide. So, what else we're doing? What I've dubbed Operation InReach is we're contacting the registered libertarian voters in our state. There's, what, 16,000, Mr. Chairman? What do we have now? Eric? How many
16,880.
Right. 16,000 registered libertarian voters. So they're people that are just like you and me who just don't know that this meeting was happening today. So we got to go out there and say, hey, you were the most likely individual who's going to vote for our candidates, put up yard signs, spread the message to your neighbors, maybe attend one of your local meetings. So if you want to get involved in this, please, by all means, but the later slide is more important. So tabling events. This is a little bit more tricky because a lot of these events are going to want somebody from up high to fill out the paperwork and write out a check, so which our treasurer would have to do. So if you want to do an event in your area, please let us know, and we'll make sure that we will have it set up so that, you know, we're going to actually be representing, the Libertarian Party of Maryland will be represented there, not just, you know, individuals. So if you want help with that, let us know. But you can see we've had some great times. So last slide. Last slide for this part. One more. Nope, one back. There we go. Precinct captains. This is my baby. So, said about knocking on doors, doing tabling events, sign waving. Nothing compares to being a precinct captain. I know a lot of you asking, what is a precinct captain? It's a term. What it means is that when you go to vote at the local school, church, wherever it is, there's hundreds of people that go there as well to vote. That's your voting precinct. I want you to own it. When you go door to door for our candidates, it makes a much bigger impact if you live a block away or a mile away. You say, hey, my name's David. I live right down the street. Furthermore, every single time there's a candidate running, especially at the upper levels where it's the governor candidate or the presidential candidate, the same people are going to see the same smiling face year after year. So whether or not you're handing out literature for the Libertarian Party of Maryland, or for David Lasher, or for the local candidates, or for Decrim Nature, or any other organization that you feel fit, I don't care what you're handing out, as long as you're handing something out and reaching out to the voters. So if we could get 85 precinct captains, that would be absolutely amazing. If you want to get lists of the voters in your voting precinct, let me know, and we will get that information to you. Another MCU Marvel movie reference here. There's a city floating in the sky. We're fighting an army of robots. I have a bow and arrow. None of this makes sense. Look. We have hyperinflation, we have mass mandates, we've got the war on drugs, the list goes on, we've got a genocide in Yemen, and there's 85 of us sitting in this room for the entire Liberty Movement, well, not Liberty, Libertarian Party and Liberty Movement-ish, against the establishment. It's that bad. And it's going to continue to be bad until people take our flyers and go door-to-door, or going to tabling events, or waving signs on the side of the road until things get better. Next slide, please. Oh, God. This is supposed to be smaller. So, David Scambalone and Travis Roll are in Anne Arundel County. David Scambalone is actually on a Zoom call right now for running for his candidacy. So it's kind of a debate. I guess a Zoom forum isn't much. But anyway. So he's not here today. Travis, well, if you want, where are you at? Stand up, please. So David Gamble and Travis Bull are already knocking on doors in Pasadena and Glen Burnie. And if you live in Anne Arundel County, those are the two people that need your support the most. I heard comments earlier about I've been active in the party for so many years. I've been active in the party for 4 years, and I haven't seen some of your faces. So I appreciate it if you support our candidates.
get out there. We got to do the work.
Next slide, please.
Also supposed to be smaller. Alex Slagle, Baltimore County.
Alex.
As I said, 1,500.
What's that?
1,500 signatures
in four states.
In four states.
Four states.
So I think we're going to knock on more doors than that, right, Alex?
Yeah, 100%.
All right. So Baltimore County, if you live in Baltimore County, I need you to support Alex Slagle. He needs people to help door knock in Dundalk. And one more thing. And then we got Matt Whitlock in Harford County. Where are my Harford County piece? Whoop. All right. So those of you that know, Harford County is our new baby. The new sister group in the state. I'm very proud to see you guys achieving what you have in the last few months. So Harford County, Matt Whitlock needs individuals to be knocking on doors in his district. I believe it's F. It's going to be this gray area on the right. You go. You have one more. All right, don't step on this. It'll hit you in the mouth. I'm sorry. One more. So Larry Reyna. Larry here? Okay, I'm sorry. St. Mary's County, same thing. I know St. Mary's County, Southern Maryland, there's like three of you in the entire area, but if you can get down to St. Mary's County, it's going to need some help. I think I got one more. So, our brethren are already in the field. You see these people up here. These are the active volunteers. Now, there's more of them, but you see the faces. You see what they're doing. I need you to support them. I need you to support our candidates tonight and today. So if you can go out there, door knock, sign wave, table an event, tomorrow's the day to do it. Cool?
Okay, so we've got a little bit of a delay with the ballot counting, so I'm going to ask for a motion, which I have to do, to amend the agenda, to bring forth some items. It's not going to be anything that is another vote, because we can't do that. It's really just, I'm going to ask for a motion that we go ahead and do the chair's report and the treasurer's report now. Does anybody in the counters have an objection to that, just as a courtesy? I mean, you're just listening to me and Bob, so. But it is something that we have to do under our agenda. So can I have a motion to move those forward to the present? A second. Any opposed? Okay, so that's what we're going to do. So I included a written chair's report, kind of just a little narrative thing in the binder, but I wanted to go over a couple points and, more importantly, be available to answer questions about our party and our party's activities over this past year. We're currently at 162 members. We had peaked at about 187. That does kind of follow a trend line, and we'll get back up to 187. Or higher. Our registrations are currently at 16,855. That is lower than I had set as a goal. We were at 23,400 when we lost party status. People like David and his team doing door knocking have been going out to those registered libertarians who are not currently registered anymore, and asking them to re-register. Crystal, you probably have seen the social media ads that Crystal has done, and a big part of that was we raised money for a ballot access fund, $2,000, which we did meet that target. We raised $2,000. But the point of that was to leverage those kind of great videos by doing advertising. The problem is our primary social media is Facebook. And the way Facebook has tried to throttle down all political advertising, it just doesn't make sense for the to spend the money. I mean, the reach is ridiculously low. So we are working on different alternatives, including Google Ads and YouTube, which I mentioned before, but we can't really start spending money on YouTube distribution until we get, is it 500, Crystal? 500 people. So that's our first goal, so that we can start spending that money to get the word out. Right now, our registrations grow the most in 16 to 22-year-olds. And that's mostly MBA. And we keep about, I mean, this is a hard percentage to get accurate, but it's anywhere from about 50 to 65% stay with us past the primary season. So they go get their license for the first time. They register libertarian because probably because they don't like the R's or D's, or maybe they have are libertarians. At least 65% of them, when they learn that they're not going to be able to vote in a primary, still stay with us. So that's a good area for focusing our attention, and we're going to try to go towards some of the more youth markets on social media, which is kind of always a moving target. Unfortunately, some of those are just really poorly designed for political advertising. Maybe that's why they're there. We spent the year working on a lot of internal processes. We had maybe 10 or 11 people go to the Region 5 training in Norfolk, where they got intense training over 2 days, was it two or three, 2 days, and on a lot of different subjects, two different tracks, one for candidates and one for a party. But a lot of that information they can use for both. And what we learned, one of the things I took away from that as a checklist item was developing standard operating practice for documents so that as new people come in, we're not having to train them just one-on-one. We can hand them a document. So we did a lot of that. We worked on the CRM system. We don't use the national CRM system. We're having pretty good results with HubSpot, and all that was done. Crystal has been working on her videos. We've done maybe eight, seven? I'm trying to think. Oh, okay. Maybe I just keep putting them out. So we did four. Is that okay? I thought you did memberships, registrations twice. Okay. Anyway, and then just some behind-the-scenes stuff. As you all know, I do all our legislative work. Governor Hogan announced yesterday that he is allowing the legalization bill to go forward without his signature, so it is adopted law. It will only go into effect if the voters affirmatively pass it as a referendum on November's ballot, which is almost perfect for us because we've got a key issue being a referendum topic on the ballot at the same time we're running a gubernatorial campaign and then also the other candidates. That will go into, if passed, it will go into effect on July 23rd of 2023. So that next summer following the passage in November. We can expect outside money to come into the state to try to get that referendum passed. So we'll be watching very closely how we can leverage some of that attention. Because the people that have financial interests in developing the license systems are going to come in with big money to try to get it passed. But you know, Marylanders for pretty consistently 4 or 5 years have been at 60 to 62% in favor of legalization for recreational purposes. So it's pretty likely to pass. Spent a lot of time on electronic signatures. As you know, we were one of the few states during the pandemic lockdowns to be able to get to use electronic signatures for petitioning. So in addition to all the written signatures like Alex and other people were doing, including some paid petitioners, we set up a website that allowed electronic signatures to be done. First time, we did it with the Greens. We also went to court, federal court, to get the 10,000 reduced to 5,000 because we were in the middle of a pandemic. It was very hard to get those things. You know, there was no outdoor places. Most of the stuff that Alex had done was in Crystal and down at the beach. That was all 2019. Although, Alex, you did a lot in 2022.
It was all pandemic.
So we went to the Board of Elections to get it done administratively and finally convinced the then existing Board of Elections to accept it because we pointed out that they had the legal authority to do it. But once they had new members come on the board, they kind of just sat on it. Even though we had the staff prepare the regulations and it was almost done. They waited. And they waited. The reason they waited was they waited for the General Assembly session to start. And then conveniently, two different bills got introduced. One to require all signatures to be in handwriting, which was pretty much aimed at us and the Greens. That got defeated in committee. And then one was an affirmative thing to create electronic signatures, and that did not get out of committee. And the reason I tell you all that is that pretty much dooms the administrative process, because what the Board of Elections people are going to now argue is, well, it was a bill, and the General Assembly didn't accept it, so we don't think we should do it on our own authority. So we may end up back in federal court with respect to electronic signatures, or it's possible state court, because the board has the authority to do it, and we want to push it. I think I didn't finish one of my thoughts there. The reason why electronic signatures were so important in us getting ballot access, we were short by about 1,100 signatures a week before. And all those that came in were all by doing advertising of that site for going to do electronic signatures, and they just all piled in that last week. And I can't remember how many extras we had, but we had
a difference.
It made a difference. Without that electronic signatures, we probably would not have had ballot access. As many of you probably know, the ghost gun bill did get passed out, and Hogan is going to allow that. He's not vetoing it. He's going to allow it to become law without his signature. So that's kind of one of those cop-out things. It did get amended. Maryland Shall Issue worked with legislators to get it amended to provide some financial relief with respect to doing the systems, but that's about it. There's another gun bill, as you may know, on security. That was rammed through. There was really no committee. There's a technical committee vote, but there was no public testimony on this bill. It basically requires gun shops to have all this security cameras and all this other information, but it's a one-size-fits-all thing. It was very poorly done. They just rammed it through. Hogan did veto that, but that bill will probably be overturned because they met the deadline to submit it to Hogan so that they can overturn it in this session. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to overturn his veto because it would be a new General Assembly. We testified in favor of the Defend the Guard Act. Scott Spaulding is here. Is Scott here? Scott, can you stand up? We had five or six people before the committee giving a pitch. Delaware did it as well, and you know we're trying to have all the states that are in favor of Defend the Guard to get that legislation passed. It didn't get anywhere, but it's the kind of bill that you have to return to for 4 or 5 years in a row before they get tired of you and say, okay, maybe we should. So we'll be back at it. Crystal testified on a homeschool bill against it, which would have set up an advisory body that would have narrowed the range of people in the homeschooling community that would have input to the Department of Education. It's kind of a power play by one of the most progressive legislators in the state. So it was a kind of a veiled attempt to narrow the focus of homeschooling. That got basically what's called put in the drawer, didn't get out of committee. So thank you to Crystal. And many others. There was a vibrant network of people that came and argued against that bill. In Baltimore County, there's a bill to basically take a lot of the crimes that we don't think should be crimes, like prostitution, CDS things, and declare when you use a property with those kind of violations that it becomes a nuisance and it allows them to seize the property and close it down. Here's the bad part about it. It's without a conviction. So it's just like civil asset forfeiture, where it's basically a police report saying that we believe that this was used for these purposes. Doug Stanley testified at the Baltimore County Council, and they tabled it, I guess, and asked him to submit amendments. So we're going to be working on that for Monday, I believe, to get some amendments to at least improve the due process elements of it, or at least make enough noise about the due process elements that it gets some of them to have cold feet. So we shall see. It is not an atypical bill in Maryland. There's quite a few counties that are doing this kind of things. It just isn't talked about. It appears we're going to lose our fight to oppose the body cam bill that came through. What this bill does is limit public distribution to the Maryland Public Information Act of body cams for police. We had been at the forefront of the fight to get body cams introduced throughout the state, including all the small municipalities, small jurisdictions that hadn't done it yet. But now they're trying to limit the access. Once you limit the access, you lose the public accountability. You know, so it's the game they play. That's probably, though, going to get passed. It's not the worst bill in the world in that you'll still have body cams. You'll still have the ability to get it. It's just with a different test for the public and, most importantly, the press to be able to get that footage. It does a few little things that we actually did support. There's, you know, when you have a police officer entering a home on domestic violence dispute or something like that, you don't want all of, if there's a kid there, you don't want that child shown on video that's public. You know, they're entering the home. So there's some privacy things that were good in that. But so that's my report. But, you know, the more important thing is for you to be able to ask questions about the party or legislative stuff we're doing, anything, if you have them. Hearing none, I'd like to move on to the Treasurer's report. Mr. Johnson.
Currently, right now, we have $26,490.77 in the bank account as of the end of March. That is probably the best decline in the party in 20 years where we've ever been financially. So we're in solid shape. The budget is a little bit behind. And it doesn't surprise me. This is a national convention year. It's on the West Coast. It's expensive and money's tight. We all know how the economy is. You should have the banking and the budget summary copies in your binder, and I would be happy to entertain any questions. Any of you who are feeling rich and generous, you may donate up to $6,000 to the party in a four-year gubernatorial cycle. Stop by and see me. I would be happy to accommodate. Seeing no questions, I shall hand it back off to the rest.
So that ends the two things that we moved ahead in the schedule, and we really can't move, to be fair to the people that are counting, and we don't want two counts happening at the same time. The nominations for chair and executive board, or candidates, or platform committee. So what I'm going to do instead is point out that we have included in your binder a survey that we will collect at the end of the convention. You know, it offers some basic input so that we can get an idea of the kinds of people and the kinds of issues that you care about, what kind of people show up to these events, and we can compare it with other things we do online to say, okay, these are the people that are highly motivated, these are what they care about. We thought about doing, or at least I thought about doing, a much more elaborate issue-oriented survey, but I think if we're going to do that, it's not going to be asking you to do that at a convention. It's probably going to be a mailer or something like that. So you could take your time and think about it, and we probably would rank things a little differently, maybe even get some professional help on how to set the question so it doesn't have any bias, you know, that kind of thing, because we do want good information. So take a look at that. I really don't have anything else that we can move forward in the business meeting. We have to be done the business meeting by 1. What time is it now? So we better get ready to roll. Where are you on the voting, the tabulation?
We are stuck.
Well, I'm doing a manual count while they're trying to.
Which is probably going to be the one to use.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you got anything you need to help with your manual count? An auditor, look over my shoulder. So, you know, just 2 or 3 people hanging out here.